One of the privileges that I have every year at this time of the year to get to share. And, you know, as I was thinking about this morning and, you know, what would be appropriate for us to talk about, I had about 30 sermons in my head. And I'm like, I don't know how to choose. So we're not going to pack all 30 into one moment, but there's just so much. I've been reading through Proverbs this year every month, and you know, there are just so much wisdom there. And one of the verses that I came across, you know, as I've been reading through, was Proverbs 18:2. That says that a fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing their own opinions. Now, does that sound familiar? I mean, it's like, hey, you know, I read the Bible, and I'm reading through Proverbs, and you just have these moments or like these verses that just kind of leap right off the page. You know, a fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but just delights in airing their own opinions. And it's like, that is our world today. That is the experience. I no matter where I go, I can you know, go over to, it's still drug town to me over here, Hy-Vee drugstore. I, you know, go over here, and I hear people just kind of sharing their opinions. Get on social media. All I hear, you know, people sharing their opinions everywhere. Now, are opinions bad? Well, is that your opinion, right? all of us have opinion. We all have opinion. Opinions in themselves are not bad. What Proverbs 18:2 says that a fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but just delights in airing their own opinions. And that airing your own opinions, the word there is the word for heart. They delight in just kind of expressing their heart. They don't want to understand, they just want to express their heart. Well, the Bible is very clear, and Jeremiah says that the heart is deceitful and wicked and beyond cure. If that is the condition of my heart and I have no desire to understand, I just want to express my heart, I just let whatever bubbles up out of my heart. Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in the heart is going to come out. And so we live in an opinionated world. Nothing wrong with opinions. We all have opinions, but we live in an opinionated world. The issue is, how do we live wisely in this opinionated world? So I did a little opinion research this week. So I got on the internet and I thought I would just share a few. Some people just kind of state their opinion. Others want to give commentary as to why. One person wrote, baby on board stickers on the back of cars are a waste of time. Me noticing a sticker just before I plow headlong into the back of your car isn't a preventative measure. Nutella on toast is a cry for help. I always did this as a child, and one day I suddenly started having trouble breathing. Thanks, Nutella. Now I eat Nutella with a spoon and an EpiPen. So, musicals are just awful. All that bursting into spontaneous song will not bring about world peace or save humanity. Some just kind of just stated it. And I'm sure we probably have opinions on some of these. Toilet paper should roll under, not over. Oh, yeah. All right. How about this? Hot dogs are not sandwiches. They're not. All right. Yeah. GIF should be pronounced GIF. Pineapple doesn't belong on pizza. Ooh, that's hitting below the belt there. That's, yeah. Some of you are like, yeah. This one I thought was interesting. Brown cars. This one, I wholeheartedly agree. This is my personal favorite. Mushrooms are the work of the devil. Do I hear an amen? Yeah. All in favor, say aye. Yes. opinions are everywhere, you know. And, you know, these are all just, you know, these have all fallen into the category of really personal preference, right? I mean, toilet paper over, under. I mean, I know it breaks up marriages and all, but, you know, it just is what it is, right? When I'm talking about whether pineapple belongs on pizza or not, I'm not talking about pineapple or pizza. I'm talking about who? I'm talking about me, my personal preference. But there were other opinions, you know, that I found. One of them, Florida's new anti-immigration bill is immoral. Another one, marriage is a patriarchal tool used by men to control women. People should be free to love whoever they want, whenever they want, however they want. I am a good person. Life is meaningless. Or this one, truth is a matter of opinion. Oh, you've heard that one before. Truth is a matter of opinion. You see, it's one thing to have a personal preference about mushrooms, about Nutella, but it's something very different when I'm talking about marriage, or I'm talking about love, or I'm talking about morality, or I'm talking about God. You see, that's very different. I mean, I can have thoughts about those subject matters, but my opinion about each of these subjects out there, when I'm speaking about truth, what is truth, or what is marriage, or what is love, you know, these are real concepts or real things. And I can have thoughts or opinions about them, but my thought and opinion about them does not make any of these things actually true according to my opinions and my thoughts. And in our opinionated world, this is where we're at today. People just want to share the utterances of their heart. I don't want to understand what love is. I don't want to understand who God is. I don't want to understand about marriage. I don't want to understand, you know, what truth is. I just want to share my opinion about all these things. This is the world that we're in. And, you know, and for our high school graduates, this is the world that you have been birthed into, and now you are going to be launched in, you know, outside of some of the control or some of the boundaries to be making decisions. And the world says to you and says to all of us, think however you want to think, because if you think it, that's the way it's going to be. We live in an opinionated world that has no desire or doesn't take pleasure or doesn't delight in understanding. And so this morning, kind of this concept of understanding, just kind of want to talk about that. You know, what is understanding? What is understanding? And how does understanding relate to knowledge and wisdom? If you read through the book of Proverbs, you'll see these words a lot. You'll see knowledge, wisdom, understanding. And these words are all kind of linked and kind of interconnected. And when Proverbs, when Solomon is writing, you know, he's not talking about just knowledge in general, but more knowledge specific. Not excluding, you know, math and all these other things, but when Solomon writes about knowledge, so for instance in Proverbs 9:10, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. He's talking about knowledge of God. Knowing God's heart and knowing God's priorities. That's kind of the big category, like in Proverbs when it talks about knowledge. What is God's heart? What does he think? What does he value? What are his priorities? What does he do? What is he up to? How did he design things? So when Proverbs is talking about knowledge, that's what it's talking about, knowledge of God. Theology. And all of the facets. So underneath that would be the meaning and purpose of life. Underneath that would be who am I as a person? I'm God's creation, and everything that God has done. That's the category of knowledge that Proverbs is talking about. Wisdom is that knowledge lived out, right? Wisdom is that knowledge lived out in all of its different facets. How to live life in light of God's heart, in light of God's priorities. You have to know God's heart, and you have to know his priorities, his values, in order to live them out. And that's what Proverbs is talking about. But see, there's this thing in the middle called understanding. Because you can have information, but not know how to live it out. Have you experienced that before? Have you seen that before? You know, it's do I understand the information so I know how to correctly live it out? I want to illustrate that. So there we go. My name is Billy, and I'm 5 years old. All right. So I'm Billy. I'm five. I have a mom, and she loves me. Right? She loves me, and I have a ball. I like to play with my ball. Right? I can play with my ball. I like to play. Now it just went across the street. Huh? What? Oh, it came back. Problem solved. Right? So 5-year-old Billy, he knows a few things. He knows that, you know, his mom loves him. He knows, you know, there's a street. Okay? Mom wants 5-year-old Billy, little Billy, to live wisely. Now, why would mom want little Billy to live wisely? So he doesn't die, right? So he stays alive. Mom wants little Billy to live wisely, right? Now, little Billy kind of went near the street and playing with his ball, and all of a sudden the ball rolled across the street. Little Billy is lacking understanding because little Billy does not understand the inherent dangers represented right here. Now, often what happens to little Billy when his ball goes across the street? All he sees is his ball, and it's across the street, and what often is little Billy going to do? Just kind of run right across the street to get his ball, right? Because he lacks understanding. He doesn't know how to live wisely in this situation. Now, mom, I'm sure, has told him, hey, don't play near the street. Well, why? Why? Just don't do it because it's dangerous. Well, does 5-year-old little Billy understand danger? He does not understand these concepts. He needs understanding. But see, Proverbs isn't talking about, you know, living on the crossroads of your street. Proverbs is talking about living on the crossroads of life. It's the crossroads of life. And what's interesting is, The first 8 chapters specifically in the book of Proverbs, Solomon is writing to his adult children. He's not writing to 5-year-old Billy. He's writing to his adult children. He's writing to his high school graduates. One of the reasons we know this is because of the subject matter in the first 8 chapters. Little Billy, don't walk down the street of the adulteress. Right? No, that's not appropriate for 5-year-old, but it is appropriate for adolescents and up. How, you know, here's how to live wisely when friends want to come and ask you to kind of hang out and get into all kinds of trouble. Don't go along with them. The first 8 chapters talks a lot about this concept of understanding. Here's knowledge. Here's how to put it into practice. But you need to understand. And often 5-year-olds just don't have the capacity to understand abstract concepts like love or, honesty. We want to teach these character traits as they grow up, but then how to apply them to different life situations. How to recognize a good friend from a bad friend. How to recognize someone that's going to steer you away from truth and someone that's going to lead you to Jesus. See, you need to understand these kind of things. And so 5-year-old little Billy doesn't understand that. But Proverbs isn't talking to 5-year-old little Billy. Proverbs is talking to us, talking to adults. And specifically, he's talking to his young adult children. And he says, you need to live wisely because you are in an opinionated world that is inherently dangerous to your soul. And if you don't live wisely, you will destroy yourself and you'll take others down with you. So how do you live wisely in an opinionated world? Because a foolish person has no desire to understand. It's interesting, he doesn't say a fool takes no pleasure in knowledge. And he doesn't say a fool takes no pleasure in wisdom. Because people kind of want to know. And people kind of want to live in a way that's going to be productive. But understanding is the hard, dirty work between knowledge and wisdom. It is seeking to understand. And understanding always doesn't come easily. So flip in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2, our scripture reading this morning, if you would. Just want to kind of walk through this briefly with us this morning. So Proverbs chapter 2. Just like all of us here, Solomon was deeply concerned with his children. He wants them to live wisely, to be able to handle life. Because Solomon is not always going to be there. I mean, little Billy's mom isn't always going to be there. And someday, little Billy's going to have to make decisions on his own. Is going to have to discern between right and wrong, between what is an opinion and what is fact, what is truth from what is just hearsay. What is a good friend from a bad friend? What is moral versus immoral? Have to make those decisions. So this is one of the things that Solomon wants to talk to his kids. So Proverbs chapter 2 begins, verse 1. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to what? Understanding. Not applying your heart to knowledge and not applying your heart to wisdom, but applying your heart to understand. Proverbs 18:2 said, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding. But he says, my son, I want you to live wisely in this life. So apply your heart. Not to just share whatever you think, but apply your heart. Like it is receptivity and willing to remember and hold on to. He says, if you accept my words. You see, there has to be a desire to accept the right knowledge and a desire to store them up or to hold on to them. You see, little Billy on the side of the street, his mom didn't tell him to beware of the dangers there and don't play by the street when he was standing by the street. Mom told him that days and weeks earlier. You see, words need to be stored up for a future time when they're going to be needed. And a heart that desires to understand is willing to accept the right words and hold on to them, applying my heart or being diligent to try to understand what these words are all about. Why does mom tell me not to stand by the street when I'm playing? Do I understand? Does little Billy understand his mom's heart? Does little Billy understand his mom's priorities? Mom doesn't want little Billy to die. Does little Billy really understand that when he's on the side of the street? God wants us to live, to not die. He wants us to be wise and not foolish. But do we always understand God's heart? Do we understand his priorities for my life? You see, a heart that wants to live wisely in a foolish world is willing to accept God's words, willing to hold on to them, store them up, and set the heart to understand, to seek to understand. He goes on in verse 3. By the way, in verse 1, he says, if. There's a condition here. You see, wisdom isn't just there because we want it. There's a condition. There is some sort of intentionality and action. If you accept and you store up and apply your heart to understanding. Verse 3, and if you call out for insight and you cry aloud for what? Understanding. Not only do you have to remember and embrace it, but you have to have a desire to pursue it. You have to have a desire to pursue understanding. And sometimes it doesn't come easy. When God tells us, you know, vengeance is mine, don't take revenge on your own. Well, every cell in my body wants to get back at this person, right? I want to get back at this person. Do I really want to understand God's heart and his values and priorities for my life and for the life of the person that I'm really irritated at? And do I want to know and to a way to really understand? Or do I just kind of like, that's a stupid verse. That's a dumb verse. They deserve it. I'm going to give it to them because I'll feel much better, right? Do I understand God's heart for me in that attitude that I might have in trying to take revenge on my own and what that would do to me? See, do I understand the implications of that on my own life? You see, our hearts are deceitfully wicked and sinful, and we think that because we think it, it must be right and true. But Solomon says, no, 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 my son. My son who I love you, my son. No, no, that's not the way. If you accept my words and you hold on to them, you store them up and set your heart on seeking to understand. He says, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud, in other words, it is, I want to understand before I act. I want to know, and I want to understand what I know, and I want to understand that what I know and how it works before I actually work it. We live in a world that wants to go from knowledge to wisdom, and they want to skip the hard work of understanding. A desire to understand. Verse 4, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure. It'd be really interesting. It'd be really interesting. Not that we could ever do this because we don't have a lot of money here, but after the service this morning, if we could do this, it'd be really fun. After the service this morning, there's $1 million hidden in the church, and whoever finds it first gets to keep it and take it home and tithe 10%, right? And so that's what, right? That's what we want to do, tithe 10% of the church, right? Many of us would spend the rest of the afternoon doing what? Looking, right? Looking. It's God's gift to us, looking, right? Well, everyone has plans in here this morning for this afternoon. And maybe you don't have plans and your plan is not have a plan, but you know what? If this was presented to you, your plans might, what, change? Plans might change. Why? Because of the value that we would place on $1 million. Anyone else? I could use $1 million. I mean, probably most of us could use $1 million. He says, listen, it's not just listening to the words and storing them up and applying your heart to understanding and calling out for understanding. It says those are all good, but you must be diligent. You must not give up. If you knew that at the end of a week's worth pursuit was $1 million, if you just spent the week diligently searching for it and you knew it was available, you just had to take the time to find it. If you knew that, you continue on until you actually, what? You found it. You would. But see, we don't have that same value to understand God's heart, to understand God's priorities. If we had that same desire to understand God's heart and to understand his priorities, we would not give up when we don't understand. We would not stop short when things are confusing. I know that God loves me. My life right now doesn't make sense. But I want to understand God's love for my life in this situation. And so I am not going to give up. I'm going to hold on to that truth, and I'm going to seek to understand. And at some point, maybe understanding doesn't even come. I still have to trust his what? Trust his heart. I still have to trust his heart. How do you live wisely in an opinionated world? We need to understand God's heart and God's priorities. If, verse 1, if, verse 3, if, verse 4, if this is the cadence of your heart and your mind. Verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and what? Understanding. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom are all interconnected. You can't have one without the other. Knowledge of God's heart and His priorities, understanding God's heart and His priorities, and living in light of God's heart and His priorities. That's what it means to live wisely. You got to know God to live rightly in the world that He created, in this body that He made, with the relationships that He surrounded me with all the things that He's given me, how to steward that in His world. And that's not a matter of my opinion. It's a matter of relationship with the heart of God, knowing God. That's what Solomon's all about. That's what he's talking to his kids. He's like, you want to live wisely in this world? You need to be wise. You need to understand. You need to know. And who do you need to know? You need to know the living God. You need to know His heart. You need to know His mind. You need to know His priorities. You need to know His values. Wisdom begins and ends with God. Because verse 6, it says, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. You see, we can't know God unless He lets us know Him. And you know what? He's given us an incredible gift right here. It's called a Bible. It's God's Word. We can know His heart and mind if we desire to in this opinionated world. We have all that we need to get to know God's heart and mind if we really desire to know. But, you know, if it's not easy, if it doesn't come quickly, or if I have to spend time right here really trying to understand God, I mean, is God complex? Yeah, He's complex. He says His ways are higher than our ways, right? Hey, I don't fully understand God's heart. Because I don't fully understand, does that mean I don't know Him? Does that mean I don't relate to Him? He says, verse 5, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. To stand in awe of God and experience intimacy with the living God. But that doesn't come just out of good intentions. That doesn't come through my just own personal opinions. That comes through turning my ear to what God says. Not any words, but His words. Accepting them, storing them up. Applying my heart to understand them, calling out for understanding, and searching to understand just like I would for silver or for gold. If that is my heart direction, my heart desire, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. That's what Solomon wanted for his kids. He wanted them to live wisely in their opinionated world. That's the same that's true for us today. God desires us to live wisely in our opinionated world. The world's going to have its opinions about marriage, about truth, about all these different things. But whose opinion, whose perspective matters most? To live wisely in this world, we need to get to know the heart and priorities of our God. And where is that found? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul says this. He says, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs. Greeks look for wisdom. Americans want to share their opinions. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Wisdom begins and ends with God. It is knowing him, knowing his heart, and knowing his priorities. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. So the pursuit of God starts and ends with Jesus. It always comes back to Jesus. Sounds very cliche, but it's so true. It always comes back to Jesus. Do you want to know him? Live in light of who he is and what he's done, his heart and his priorities? Or are we content to just air the opinions of our sinful hearts? It's very, very tempting to just share the utterances of our hearts. But to take the things in my heart and the thoughts in my mind and to tether them back to the heart of God and back to the values and priorities of God, seen in Jesus, my Savior, is where wisdom begins and ends. And that is Solomon's advice, how to live wisely in a foolish world. You pursue the heart and mind and values and priorities of God. And don't stop pursuing, but be diligent. Do the hard work of seeking to understand. So to live wisely in a foolish world is to pursue God and to pursue Jesus with all your heart. Father, help us to do that. Help us to understand the temptations in our world, and they are everywhere. Father, I know I'm tempted every day just to speak without thinking, to repeat things without knowledge or understanding. Father, grow us as a people to be wise. And I pray for our graduates. You know, the temptation every day for them is to engage in the foolishness and the thinking of our world. Father, I ask that you would help them to desire to know your heart, to know your priorities, to read the Bible so they can get to know you, the living God. You have given us your word so that we could know, so we could understand. And I love how you tell us that the Holy Spirit helps us to understand when we are confused. Even understanding comes from you. We can't get it ourselves. That's why you told us, then we'll understand. The fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for you give wisdom and understanding. Father, help us to be a wise people. Help us to be a people that honors you and how we live. Not just to honor you, but also practically, it is the life that you want for us. So Father, help us to desire to know you, to desire to know Jesus more than anything. Father, we want to love you, and we want to walk with you faithfully. So help us as a people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.